So before we start, I have an apology to make to all listeners. Episodes 17, 18 and 19 were all slightly corrupted during the upload of the final copy to SoundCloud, and they thus sound slightly weird and have a horrible buzzy noise the whole time. pretty embarrassing. And the demos that I tested were all fine and that I sent to the podcast guest to check through. So we completely missed the mistake, and I finally found out and fixed the problem. And so I'm just very sorry that it happened at all, and that any of you even listened to the podcast kind of amazes me. And so I'm very thankful that you did, and sorry that you had to. And yeah, in the future, if you ever notice anything wrong with the podcast, please, please do tell me so that I can fix the problem, and then life is great and I don't get embarrassed again, and you get to listen to something nice and not annoying. And on a more positive note, this week on the podcast, we have my interview with Marcelo Mesquita. Mesquita? I've never worked out how to say his surname. Marcelo, that's all I know. He is the founder and CEO of Intense Health, and it's a really fascinating podcast for two reasons. Well, number one, the guest. He just has a really cool background. So Marcelo is a sports scientist. He grew up in Brazil as a surfer, and he turned to bodybuilding when his mum got him a gym subscription at 14. He then opened his first gym as a 16-year-old and has been in the personal training industry for the past 20 years. In that time, he also got into martial arts and became a champion of some sorts in taekwondo, as well as getting super into jiu-jitsu and more powerlifting. He moved to Canada and then to Australia with his partner Andrea, who is also his co-founder at Intense Health. So expect lots of interesting insights on health and fitness, how to start a business and working with your partner, as well as insights into growing up in Brazil and the complete failure of a true Brazilian attempting to live through a Canadian winter, which was just never going to work, quite clearly. Now, the second reason this podcast is interesting is because of the business that Marcelo runs. For a brick and mortar business that is basically just gym chains, it's actually really, really innovative, and it's set to redefine the way we all work out in the future. The training technique delivers the same results of 1 hour training a day, like 6 days a week, but instead it's only 20 minute sessions, which you do twice a week. And I tested it, and I regret to say that not only does it work really well, but I now feel like a complete idiot every time I go to the gym, because literally doing weights now is not really the same anymore. And feels a bit depressing that I'm just wasting lots of time and being inefficient. So I really need this business to take over the world already, so I can use it when I'm traveling and when I'm back in the UK, I can go to the gym. And by the way, Marcelo happens to be an absolute beast of a man, and he's definitely a friendly giant, but he's ripped as hell, so it's clearly working very well for him, which is a good sign. Anyway, I'll let him go into the details, and we start the interview with his explanation behind the concept of Intense Health, the business.
Yeah, so it's pretty much a combination of my experience in the fitness industry and resistance training and training individuals for two decades, plus my wife's experience in nutrition and dietetics. And she always worked with my clients as well in the past and now in Intense Health. So Intense Health started in the way that at one point in my career, I was doing too much and too often exercise and training a lot of sports. I was competing in jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, plus natural bodybuilding and powerlifting. But I started to experience some side effects from doing too much and too often exercise. And that was the case that I decided to stop a little bit, research, because I still wanted to have the performance and the body composition, the physicality improvements, but without any of the side effects that not only myself, but looking back, everyone that I could see doing too much and too often, amateur athletes, professional athletes, or just general population, eventually would experience some form of side effects. So the idea was finding a way that we could find the right dosage of exercise and application that we could get the most out of it, just the benefits and none of the side effects. And then we stopped maybe, I would say, 6-8 months and just really started to dig deep into research and ask a lot of people opinions and be really critical even to the information that we study back in university. And then eventually got a good format for the protocol of training. And then we started to practice in myself and my wife, Andrea, and then we started to get better results. We measured. And then eventually I got to all my clients and said, look, guys, now everyone's going to be training twice per week, 20 minutes each training session. You're going to spend less time, less money with me, but you're going to get better results. In 12 weeks, if you don't get better results, I'll give your money back. Right. So that's how I started. Everyone got better results, and then they socialized and they communicate, family and friends. And then they started to send people in because people, whoa, you lost that amount of weight, looking good, what are you doing? Actually, I'm training with this crazy Brazilian, and it's twice a week. It's hard, but you're super safe. You don't hurt yourself, but you work really hard. And then the rest of the few days, you come back and do all over again and get strong. Then pretty much we had a good format, and we put in all the variables of the training room that we like to call training chamber. We control the temperature for a reason. We control all the progression of the clients and body composition to really make sure that they're getting the results.
So how did you work out that just 20 minutes was the best?
20 minutes, it was sort of the time frame that we select for the appointment. Because sometimes, in fact, the workout can be from 12 up to 17 minutes. Yeah. And then we have those extra minutes to give a good feedback or demonstrate or correct or instruct. There's a lot of elements from when the client starts the session to the end of the session, but really understanding the concept of working out with intensity, not volume and frequency. So we're teaching breathing techniques and how to keep constant tension in the muscles and all of the elements to really make sure that the client's taking the exercise to what we like to say momentary muscular failure, and that stimulates the mechanical changes. So there's a lot of educational process that goes with it, but 20 minutes, it's really, I would say, in now almost 4 years with Intense Health, I've never seen someone asking for more.
Yeah.
after this workout. And everyone that builds a little bit of muscle, they like it, right? Mm. They're stronger, they can perform better, and that is what increases the motivation of the process. Most people in the fitness industry, they like to start all motivated, oh, we're going to do this, yeah, blah, blah, in a few weeks, and end up quitting. You like to build up slowly because results will increase the motivation, not the other way around.
Can you explain like how the machines work?
So these machines, yeah, the ARX machines, it's called adaptive resistance exercise. They don't have any weights. It's motorized resistance, right? So they have a big motor in the machines, and they connect to an electronic component and also interacts with the software. So the machine is actually measuring how hard, for example, in the pull down, you are pulling through the entire concentric phase of the movement, and how hard you are resisting all the way to the eccentric movement. And then there's an electric cell really measures how hard you are going against the machine. Right, so then we can see the force output instantly in each angle and torque force of the movement. And then that generates the graphics that you see on the screen. And then when you come back next week or a few days later, we put those lines in the background and you did that. Right, so you know it was your lines. And then you're trying to do slightly better. Right, and over time, that slightly better each time becomes a big chunk of improvement. Right.
So who's your main kind of clients?
Great question. I think our target market is normally the people that see advantage of not having to spend that amount of hours per week dedicated to exercise. They see the 20 minutes appointment, they are gaining 40 minutes compared to an hour. You have more time, which nowadays we know for a fact that it's really valuable. So in a way, it's everyone that is target market, but our niche will be sort of the 30 plus or the busy executive or CEO, things like that. And they're just fine. A lot of people that come to us like, oh, I'm glad that I found you because I would never commit to the 4 hours that it takes in the gym. And that's what it takes. If you want to get results with old school bodybuilding protocols or lifting weights, it's at least 4 hours.
And what about people who are serious bodybuilders? Is there a level where you then can't do it with ARX machines, where you kind of have to spend like more hours in the gym?
Well, great question. The bodybuilding protocol, I actually put a training system together. The name of the training for all the clients called Interlude, right? So then we customize. We have the Smart Lifestyle Training Program, which is the twice per week. Normally, the individual that just wants to build a little bit of strength, muscle mass, lose some body fat, get healthier over time, get stronger. And then the successful lifestyle training program is 3 times per week. It's the individual that wants a little bit more, really understands the concept of resistance training already. First, he needs to spend some time doing it twice per week, and then we can ramp up to 3 times. And then we also have the max results, which is the 4 times per week. Yeah, I can definitely say that that would work for natural bodybuilding big time.
Yeah, is that what you do?
Yes. Sometimes I do the 4 times, but eventually, if I do that over 2 or 3 weeks, I sort of get to overtrain. Then I have to drop to 3 or 2, yeah. And then I bounce back up to 4. And I like to see bodybuilding as a lifestyle. You're always improving yourself, your capacity. I like to share with the clients, my personal goal is try to be better every decade that wasn't the decade before. So in my 20s, I was really good in performance. And in my 30s, now it's more about density and more quality. And in my 40s, I need to figure out how I'm going to make it even better.
So you said it's many like CEOs and like doctors that use your service. So it's more like a price issue rather than just mindset, do you think?
I think that's a factor, yes. We are really premium. We want the people that really can understand that it's private, it's one-on-one. We call it even private training, not personal training anymore. If you go to a 6 p.m. Session with your personal training gym, you got to understand what I'm talking about. And here, the chamber, it's very unique. There's no distractions. That 20 minutes appointment is your appointment, right? And the focus is all on you to get the most out of it, right? And what we see over the years as well, it's that frequency and consistency with training. Over time, it's very valuable in terms of delivering best results.
Yeah, sure. When I did the trial yesterday, I was pretty convinced, and I kind of already have a vision of what the future will be. But I was interested to hear what your vision is for the future of fitness and health.
Fantastic. I think there's a lot of things shifting in the industry in terms of. A few years ago, we had this boom of 24/7 gyms, right? They're open 24/7, or these big health clubs. You go in and you can play sports, you can do sauna, swimming.
Yeah, fitness
first. Exactly. Those massive gyms, big box gyms. And now we see those kinds of businesses struggling a little bit, right? Because they need that volume of people coming in, and sometimes it takes a long time so they can start to break even and be profitable because the investment's quite high as well to start a business like that. So I see in the next 5 years or so decreasing the number a lot of these massive gyms and 24/7. Now people start to realize that there's no benefits of just put a bunch of machines in the room and go for your life, no instructing or without any idea of how to use it or progress over time. They're just realizing that that doesn't cut it. Even though it's cheap, they can pay the whole year, but then they show up 3 or 4 times the entire year. So I see a lot of shifting towards to the boutique type of studios happening. Mm-hmm. People searching more and more for specific professionals in terms of adding value in investing more, but definitely getting the results that they're looking for, because the other strategies around, they were really poor in terms of delivering results. So I can see a lot more. And that's why we sort of leaning towards to the private training, creating this new category on the fitness industry. We like to call the training room, training chamber, which is really enclosed. Mm. And technology is a big thing. I see a lot of more companies in the future developing motorized resistance. Now people are starting to pay attention to the capacity of these machines and what they can do. And for me, it was just a no-brainer once I went to Texas and tried these machines, because I knew it could be something really special. But this last prototype was just amazing. It works really well, right?
Yeah, it was insane. I was just like, whoa, how is this just like killing me in like no time at all?
That's what we often say. People need to experience. It's actually even a step ahead of the whole high-intensity community, which uses gravity base and sometimes good machines. I'm a big fan of exercise machines. I test them all. But these machines, ARX, is just a step forward in terms of allowing people to go really hard and understand the concept of working with intensity straight out of the bat, straight out of the beginning, right? Most people with proper high-intensity training, they have bad experiences because they're not training hard enough.
Yeah, CrossFit, you've got to spend like 15 minutes warming up and you're like, you've already done the workout here.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, I would say, applications that become easier with ARX because it's simple. It's compound movements. You pull what you resist against. Not much technique involved. But then you can focus on what really matters, which is the effort that is required.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, the concept of future trends, what's expensive today will be commonplace in the future. It used to be taking a plane somewhere was really expensive and you wish you would do it. And like now everyone just flies
everywhere. And you still, even on the airplane scenario, you still have, you know, different classes on the same airplane. Same airplane, but you have the first class, you have the economy, you know, and you're still taking you to the same destination, right? So people sometimes we go to the gym and then we like say we are the first class of fitness because we just look at all the variables. I would say the reason is all results, right? Mm. People that come in first day, I'm always the first one to contact them and it's all about results. Once they have a little bit of results, they want more, and that's why they stay. But if they wouldn't, it wouldn't be a good business model, right? So it must be results-driven business.
Right? Yeah, the ideal case is I take a pill once a week and I'm super fit and buff. And the current case is...
Develops that will be a billionaire.
But like you're about halfway in between like the workout every day and like this is so short.
And it's an interesting point that you mentioned because sometimes some people have that idea, oh, it's just 20 minutes, I go there, that's, you know, the magic pill that I was looking for. Once they try, they say, no, it's actually less because they work extra hard. That's sort of a natural selection of the, I would say, time wasters and people. Once they come and try, they say, no, you're going to have to work hard.
You can't just sit there and take on fitness. You have to definitely need to work.
Exactly.
Do you feel like maybe in the future it will come to the point where the cost will come down? If you want to get health insurance, it would be more effective to just do like the ARX training twice a week than it would be to not.
I can see that definitely happening. And they will save a lot of money with people getting healthier by proper exercising and eating real food. But it's definitely, I can see a shift in that direction. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. But also gadgets. There's a lot of technology in the health industry in terms of gadgets that controls pretty much everything, heart rate variability and gadgets and meditation and things like that. I see a lot of people investing quite a lot in those in the next 5 or 10 years as well.
Yeah, what do you think would be the biggest?
There's a few new gadgets in the industry exploring a little bit more photobiomodulation, which is light and cold therapy, we know quite a bit now. And we actually have this gadget here, which is the Quantlet, which is one of the first that came out, which sort of controls a little bit blood flow through to light and cold temperature. I think there will be a few more coming up. And there's different protocols that can enhance your sleeping pattern performance that... But it's really recent.
Have you heard of Cocoon headphones? They sort of play like noises. So you, like in 5 hours sleep, you get the same as 8 hours sleep.
Yes, which is pretty cool. There's another one, Muse, which is a device that you put on your forehead and like a glass. And then you connect to an app in your phone and it measures the brain vibrations. And if you really, you put a headphone as well with the whole thing. And then if you really agitated and thinking a lot, you hear sort of a storm weather. And then if you calm yourself down, starting to empty your thoughts, like trying to get to the benefits of meditation, then you start to hear forest and some other birds noise, which is pretty cool. We have that one as well. But with this gadget Muse, what it does is you can do it in 3 minutes. You know, it's a really cool gadget that probably should use a little bit more because there's heaps of benefits in terms of meditation. And so I think the meditation area it's something that will get a lot of traction. So I think efficiency and time, right? Because if you look at time, it's something that you cannot go back to it, right? Yeah. You only have this life to live and get the most out of it. So whatever you decide to do with your time, if you can do it less time, you gain time to do the things you love, to spend with the people that you love, or even to have a sleep in, to sleep more, whatever you like to do, right?
So yeah, more time on the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Which I think that's our concept, sort of work out with more quality, exercise with quality that you don't have to do as often, and the benefits so you can enjoy.
One thing I normally like to ask people is, if you kept all of your memories, but I put you back in your body when you're 5 years old, 10 years old, is there anything that you would do differently in your life?
I think I would just try to find my wife faster.
Yeah.
Yes. It was just the best thing that ever happened to me, like find my wife. So,
how did that happen?
It was actually a Halloween party in Brazil. We were just partying hard and we ended up finding each other. We have seen each other a few times in different clubs or the gym that I used to manage back there. And that particular day just happened and we got together like 2-3 weeks. We moved in and then we knew it. It was just sort of one of those things. I know she's my best friend. She's my lover. She's my business partner. And we love each other so much. But it, in a way, sort of channeled all my energies, you know, to sort of build this mission in life and align that mission with passion. And it is just, I believe, the way that we love so much the process of growing the business and everything else. Mm. So I think it would just be the one thing that if I remember everything, I'll try to find her sooner.
And
start the journey. Yeah.
Do you never have any issues working together the whole time and living together?
Well, I would say most people would find that challenging, but we really love it. I struggled a little bit first year, to be honest, because we were so into it, making it happen. And one had an idea, the other one had a different idea, would clash sometimes.
Mm.
But then eventually we got to the point, okay, you're going to be responsible for this, this, and this. I'm going to be responsible for this. And then if you decide, I can just give my opinion, but it's your call. And then once we set up those little rules in business, then it was just awesome. We started to work really well together. The business got a lot more traction. We did a lot of mistakes. We learned from it. We gained experience. But I think nowadays we wouldn't have it any other way. You know, we work super well together. So an example, I'll finish the day today. We'll go home. We'll talk business probably all the way to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sometimes we have to sort of try not to talk about business, whatever.
Yeah.
We love what we do. Let's keep doing it. Keep talking. So it's kind of mutual passion and we see our life just, you know, most people our age, our friends having kids. We have four kids at the moment, which is our clinics. We just dedicate to help as many people as possible. So we keep holding back of having kids just so we can do more of what we really love.
Cool. Can you explain the process of how you started the business?
The beginning, when we decided that we wanted to build Intense Health, was pretty much 2 years of just saving and working really hard just to that goal. So we never actually got any loans or anything. We sort of started our dream business with planning.
Yeah.
And then on that planning phase, we used to ask a lot of questions to people, to my clients, you know, clients that have business. So how you did it, how you do, you know, client acquisition, how you advertise, referral system, how do you use it, where do you go, how it happens, and always asking questions, being critical and writing it down and reformulating the plan and readjusting. So when you get to open and say, I got it all figured out. No, that's just a start.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was basically, we sort of planned and then we sort of saved money and then we bought the machinery and everything else and started. We actually started on a 32 square meters facility. We had a waiting area and the training and just put a wall in between and it was really small, but we got to do about 140 training sessions per week. Just myself was completely fully booked and I was doing a lot of training sessions.
Mm.
And when we proved the model, then the sort of the concept, and then we knew we had something.
Cool. And then from there, did you take investment or did you just be able to sustain it?
We had one strategic partner that did it before.
Yeah.
We never considered having investors in business. We knew we were our baby and we wanted to take it as far as we could. But then eventually this guy comes in and starts to figure out the numbers and I know what you're doing and blah, blah, blah. It starts to show interest. And one day I asked what he did and then he did it before. Right. So he built a big business, several locations, and got to an exit strategy. We just considered him because we knew with him on the team, we would accelerate. Definitely. The time level would take us 5-8 years. With him on board, it would be a matter of 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, worth it to have someone? And then we got to know him a little bit more, spend time with him, and then it would be a big plus to learn with this individual, which is one of the most successful entrepreneurs. He's younger than me. He's 2 years younger than me. And it's really brilliant for business. He started really early and then built quite a lot. So got one investor, which is also a client. He got great results. Lost 15 kilos, put some muscle mass. And he really loves it. Rory is the strategic partner that goes in sometimes negotiation and scalabilities, expansion, and all kinds of marketing ideas. Then we have a marketing team, we have a CFO, we have the trainers in place. So it becomes now from a business, we started to turn into a real company.
Have you thought about how you're going to go from like, once you've nailed the model for Perth to like then do the rest of Australia, are you going to sort of franchise?
Yes, we have a really good business plan towards the whole Australia. Basically, the fifth location comes in next year here in Perth and in Western Australia. Then we see that being enough for this demographic. And then it goes Eastern States, Melbourne, and then Sydney and Brisbane. So then we go everywhere in Australia. So it's all now detailed on the large business plan. So we try to keep meeting our targets and adjusting as we go. Every 6 months, and that's the incredible part of being involved in scaling a business, you learn so much. In those 6 months, you're completely different. You sort of have to make that happen in order to handle.
But it's kind of things like not too ambitiously, super ambitious, but like allow yourself to sort of do the thing you're doing properly.
Don't skip the steps.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because sometimes if you're trying to do more than what you're ready for, probably it's not going
to
go as smoothly.
Try to take my employees.
Exactly. Do that really well, and then you learn a lot, and then you do the next step. So it's sort of building up phases. But you have to become the person that is capable.
You kind of have to like do each new thing yourself and kind of teach yourself how to do that. And then you can teach other people how to do that part for you. And then you go on to the next job once you've nailed the first one.
Exactly. And I see a lot of people sometimes trying to play this big business entrepreneur type of journey. But in the end of the day, what I truly believe, you have to love the process. You have to love the learning and the grind and putting hours and hours. And like, there's no such a thing as work hours for us. We wake up 4:30 in the morning, we go all day, 15, 16 hours, just because we're doing what we love. And often, you know, recommend to you find something that you love and triple down on that and try to develop a business out of your passion and never work a day in your life.
Can you explain why you moved to Australia?
Cool. Yeah. So after we met, me and my wife, she, maybe 2 months when we were together, she mentioned, oh, my family's living in Canada. And we knew it at some point. She wanted to go to Canada to visit her family, spend some time. And I said, when you go, I'm going with you. We'll try something different. We go to Canada and we see how it goes. And it was actually really nice. Canada is a fantastic place. We spent 6 months in Toronto first, right, with her family. And really cool place. We had good fun, but too goddamn cold. And when we left, it was minus 33 degrees.
Wow.
Right? So for the people that were born there, they sort of get used to it and they love it. But I wouldn't fit in as a lifestyle. So about 3-4 months in, I said, oh, we can spend a few more months here, but we can choose another place to live. And then Australia was always a dream place. And we actually just did a little research between Sydney, Gold Coast, and Perth.
Yeah.
And ended up in Perth with all our bags. We didn't know anyone. We just started from 000. Yeah.
That's cool.
It was really cool. Yeah. It was sort of having a restart in life.
Yeah. How did you go about like finding friends and things to do?
Not really hard. You know, like the media thing, we end up finding Brazilians, just asking questions for them, and then we end up developing a good group of friends. But me and Andrea really, I would say, we love our lifestyle the way it is. So us and our dog nowadays, and we don't have many friends, but just quality ones. We sort of keep it really close. But just the place here, you can see, right? It's a magnificent place. So much to do. My second favorite place would be the Gold Coast for surfing. And here it's still a little bit more calm city in terms of, it's still a big city, but doesn't feel like
it. Okay. Cool. Do you have any favorite books?
I would say Doug McGuff, Body by Science. It's a fantastic book. He puts a lot of thought in terms of questioning conventional wisdom in terms of exercise and redefining what is that is actually health, what is it that is fitness, what is it that is exercise, and put in the context where people can understand the concept of exercising infrequently and it would be optimal for humans. He puts a lot of and the terminology that he created called metabolic conditioning, which is global metabolic conditioning, right? Which is when the exercise is done properly, you're actually evolving as an organism, your whole function, the whole subsystem, cardiovascular, flexibility, strength, muscle mass, it's all involved on that particular form of exercise, which is pretty phenomenal. I had read high intensity books before. Body by Science was the one that really delivered for me.
So you've done a lot of personal training for other people as a personal trainer, and now through your gyms, you kind of with people like every day. What's the weirdest thing that's ever happened when you've been training someone?
Oh man, there's some crazy stories. back in Brazil, I used to own a gym with my parents, right? So they had, my mom was a ballerina and she's quite a famous choreographer in Brazil. So she had this studio of dance and was quite like a big building. And one day I convinced my dad to sort of empty one floor, buy a bunch of gym machines and equipment. Right, and I sort of put a little plan together. I was 16 years old, right? And I convinced him it would make more money having a gym on that floor than having those classes, right? Because it was great to have all those girls growing up, you know, around, but I was never into dance or ballet. I was just into chasing girls. In that sense, it was great, but then, you know, to do something, to spend more time there, I said, no, we need to put a gym together. And then he was sold on the idea and we started the gym. So in that gym, it was just everything you can possibly imagine. But I think the crazy story, it was a girl that was just nuts and she would speak with the TV and things like that. And she only would train with me.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, something was happening on the TV. She started to talk to the TV. It was just crazy. Everyone was scared of that woman in the gym. And then I had this competitor like a few blocks away.
Yeah.
Right? And the greatest thing that happened was one day, actually, the same girl was sort of threatening one friend of mine, thinking that he was, you know, her ex-husband. It was that crazy, right? So people were coming to me, oh, we're not going to show up anymore, right? Because this girl is crazy. She wound up, you know, hurting someone. And then I ended up convincing her that the other gym was better and had more she liked to do, would demonstrate an exercise. That other machine that they have there is far better. You can dance and you can get so much better. And then she was sold on the idea, right? And she moved to the other gym 2 weeks later. The owner calls me, "Your mother. You send this girl here. You gotta say." So it was some cool stories in Brazil in the gym.
Cool. And finally, if people want to get in touch with you,
more active on Instagram, Intense Health, Intense_Health, and Facebook page, Intense Health. And the website's probably the best to get in contact. It's intensehealth.com. Here in Perth, we offer free trials. So everyone want to come in and try and have the experience. But yeah, all over the world, we have sometimes people contacting us and we're really happy to help them out with some information or directions. Because yeah, that's the mission. It's sort of putting the word out there and then demonstrating the kind of results that we can get with our particular format and business model. But you know, those aha moments are really cool to see people realizing that you could get a lot more out of exercise. It doesn't require that much time over the week. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I definitely say it's such a good thing. It's like, it's quite a good parable. You heard that in like a story about a locksmith who, when he first starts his job, it takes him like a whole hour to like get someone through the door. Yeah. And like, but he's there like playing with all his keys. He puts so much work into it that at the end of it, like the client just wants to get in, like finally gets in after this hour. But they give him a tip as well as his like hour fee.
Yeah.
But then like a year later, he becomes like a pro and he learns how to do things. And like when a client calls him, within 5 minutes, he's like, you're in the door. But then not only did they no longer give him a tip, they didn't want to give him like the full fee for being called out because he's done it so quickly, and you're like, so but you've got a way better service. Like, you've been locked out of your house and you're in within 5 minutes versus getting in within an hour.
Right. So he's just better and more efficient in delivering the whole thing. So he shouldn't be rewarded.
Yeah, you should be paying him like twice as much.
Exactly. So if you can deliver in less time, it's actually giving you more time. It's actually giving you all the benefits. Less time is just a big benefit. And I think most people eventually we'll come to the conclusion that exercise is exactly the same thing. Doing more and more often is not the answer. Mm-hmm. More likely people end up hungrier and they're exercising to lose weight. So they do a lot of hours of exercise. They're so hungry after that. They have to replenish all that energy. But then they're trying to do more, trying to out-exercise bad nutrition. And then it's unfair, right? Because they don't get anywhere. Right when they come in here in a matter of 6 weeks, 10 weeks, we get such a great result because we flip everything on its head. We sort of challenge them to unlearn what they knew about exercise. So everything you knew about exercise and nutrition was wrong. Right? Now we'll start again. By doing something completely different, you get a different outcome. Right? We often explain doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results, the definition of insanity.
Definitely.
It's not working, change course, adjust and keep going. Not working, adjust course and keep going.
All right. Oh, thanks very much.
Awesome. Thank you.
So that's the end of the interview. If you found it interesting, then there's a lot more content going to be available from the interview that didn't make it to the episode. So I'm trying to keep things as condensed as possible on the podcasts. So we actually had some much longer discussions on the topic of bodybuilding with ARX and how he started the business, the future of the health industry, which were all very interesting conversations, but only the highlights remained in this episode. We also discussed Marcelo's diet, which I'm pleased to say is very similar to my own. The broad summary is that he practices microfasting and he only eats during an 8-hour window of the day. He basically has a light breakfast around midday and then a big dinner in the evening. He has also experimented with the keto diet, just like me, and he likes it, but not as a permanent diet, and prefers just sticking to a low-carb diet. I for one, just love fruit too much and couldn't stick with it. But we also find it quite amusing that lots of people think they're doing a ketogenic diet when they really aren't, because literally, you can barely eat that much vegetables, and even peanut butter, which half keto dieters live off, you actually can't eat that much of if you're going to be true ketogenic.
And also the fact that a lot of people get into the keto diet with the idea that suddenly a plate of bacon covered in butter is going to be really good for their health. And sadly, that's just not true. It's even worse for your health if you aren't following the keto diet properly and you are getting the accidental carb in there and you just have a normal diet plus a buttload of crap, that's the worst. But even if you are following the keto diet, you still need to watch your calories and not eat ridiculous stuff that's just bad for you in general. And yeah, the calorie in, calorie out model does still apply even when you are on the ketogenic diet. And if you eat 4,000 calories of fat and you don't poo it out, you do have 4,000 calories of fat inside of you, which is not that useful. Unless you have a ridiculous metabolism or you're doing a lot of exercise. So only do keto for weight loss if you understand the fact that you have to eat a lot less food and less calories anyway. And as fat is such a high density source of energy, you actually have a much smaller volume of food to eat in a day than you do when you're eating carbohydrates, vegetables and everything. So yeah, it's a dangerous one to dabble in if you're not doing it properly, and you should really be aware of managing it properly. Because yeah, the results are great when you do it properly. Not going to say anything against that. But if you want to hear more of those things, then the topics will be available on YouTube as separate videos. We did touch on price during the episode, and I'm sure you're interested, and I don't want to come across like a salesman. So I will be honest, the cheapest session you can get is an Australian dollars 59, which is like £35, 40 euros or 50 US dollars. And it goes up to 100 Australian dollars a session if you're just doing a single drop-in and you're not part of any plan. So that is certainly expensive, and like Marcelo says, it is more of a first-class service. But it's actually, well, I found it surprisingly less expensive than I was expecting it. I guess because of it is only a 20-minute session as opposed to a full hour session that you'd have with a personal trainer, the prices aren't that much more expensive than a normal price would be to have a personal trainer. And because you only have to do it twice a week, you could end up saving yourself money if you are someone that uses personal trainers. Obviously, if you just have like the cheapest gym membership, then it's a lot more expensive. You do also get the bonus of really, really cool data, not just on your workout there and then, but on your entire body composition and your fitness capabilities and a proper scientific breakdown like VO2 max and all this stuff. So you can really track your markers over time, which is nice, and develop a whole plan around your body and the best food and nutrition for it, which you don't get with the normal gym. However, it is possible, if you read up on the science, to do a HIIT session just with normal gym equipment rather than with the ARX machines. It is just a lot harder to be quite so effective without the adaptive resistance, and it probably does take a little bit longer. And currently, whilst I'm at home, I'm experimenting with doing HIIT routines just without any equipment at all. And it seems to be going okay, but it's definitely just a lot more effort and a lot more difficult, and it definitely does take longer as well. And yeah, I'm going to experiment with that, and I'll post results in a few months' time if anything good happens or not. So now for my key take-homes. Number one, attitude to time. In so many cases, you can really leverage your time, and this day and age, it's something that we're all running out of. So obviously working out can be a lot quicker, as we discussed in Intense Health, but also meditating or even your sleep can be much shorter using new technologies, which is exciting for the future. And also when it comes to business, things can go much faster if you're willing to share your business with people who are experienced and know the market that you're going into and how to grow and avoid the mistakes. That said, you should be mindful of your time and be willing to take things slowly and sensibly and pay the price of time where it's due. Scaling a business too fast leads to mistakes, and some things just need to be done methodically and patiently so that you can build a strong and stable business. Number two, I also just love his general attitude to business. So he saved up to invest in the equipment and took some big calculated risks on starting it. He didn't take investment and instead got advice and contacts from his clients, a lot of whom were business professionals, and he really leveraged his network and asked important questions to take things to the next level. I feel a big similarity to my approach here on the podcast, so hopefully you guys at home are getting the same benefits through listening to all the lessons that I'm learning here from the people I'm interviewing. 3. Relationships. He sets clear boundaries with his partner so that they can work well together and not conflict. But he's also the first person to ever say that he would have found his life partner earlier if possible. And he gave some really good reasons for it, that he just found his best mate and someone that fits into all the things he likes and has a shared passion to take on the world together. And it sounds awesome, to be honest. Like, I've always been pretty relaxed with the attitude of finding the right person and they'll come along when they come along. And I'm not really too worried about it, but suddenly after listening to him, I'm like, holy crap, maybe I should prioritize this a bit more and find someone that wants to try doing like a vegan keto diet on Christmas or starting businesses to solve their problems instead of just letting things annoy them and not worrying about it. But anyway, before this turns into the worst Tinder profile ever on a podcast, let's move on to some books. So Marcelo's number one favourite book is Body by Science by Doug McGough. This book really breaks down the whole science behind high intensity and low frequency weight training so that you can understand the process at a cellular level and amongst the whole body. And it's just the book on high intensity training. So there's also a lot of good videos on YouTube Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Body, goes into some of this stuff, but he gets a bit lost in the woods with some things and doesn't exactly do great science always. So I would read that book with a pinch of salt. A really good TV episode to watch is Michael Mosley's episode on Horizon by the BBC. It's called High Intensity Training, The Truth About Exercise. And he actually goes on a regime of only 2 minutes of exercise a week, but he still manages to get health benefits. And it's a really interesting watch. He also has a corresponding book for that called Fast Exercise, which is worth reading. In fact, I just love Michael Mosley anyway. I'm a big fan of his science shows in general. And his episode, Eat Fast and Live Longer, is an amazing topic on the subject of fasting. And his corresponding book for that is great. It's called The Fast Diet. As I said, we discussed dieting off the podcast, and the book The Fast Diet is really the best place to get into that sort of thing if you want to know more about fasting in general with a view to life extension and general health benefits that are claimed by this process. And I will certainly be going into that topic deeper in future episodes. But for now, that is a wrap, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. If you like this episode around health and fitness, you'll enjoy the episode next week with Ben Marshall, who is a vegan bodybuilder, which are two things you don't really hear in side-by-side sentences. thinking of a good analogy and failed there. Anyway, it's a good episode, and stay tuned for next week.